front-end developer for the first time in my career.
User experience design.
I'm a back-end developer. I mainly work with Drupal.
Welcome to another episode of Behind the Screens, where we go beyond the code and into the community. I'm your host, Chris Albrecht. Let's dive in. Behind the Screens is made possible by Lullabot. Lullabot is a strategy, design, and development company where we turn great content into captivating user experiences. Find us on Twitter at Lullabot or in your browser at lullabot.com. We'd love to meet you.
Welcome to a very spooky edition of Behind the Screens. In this episode, we are talking with people from the community about their scariest moments and the things that keep them up at night. Hold on to your keyboards!
Tom Toogood.
It was a little while ago. I was working for a big utilities company. They were running their AGM at the time, and we were streaming live this event on the website. And for some reason, I actually didn't know what was going on. And there was an update available, and I thought, perfect time to run some updates. So I triggered, you know, the updates on the site, running update PHP. This was Drupal 6 a wee while ago. And luckily it all worked and no one actually found out, but it was probably the worst time to actually run your updates in hindsight.
Yeah, as soon as you hit that button and you realize what's happening, you'll oh crap, please don't crash.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a big company, it would have probably made the news around what the hell. Yeah. I would have probably got in a bit of trouble. But luckily, the update worked.
Greg Anderson from Pantheon.
I had a really horrible experience once, and our IT department helped me with this experience. Before I started working at Pantheon, I used a Linux box. I was always on a Linux laptop, and really liked that experience. But every now and then, for my work, I had to switch over to Windows. So I had a dual boot Windows machine. At one point in time, I was dual booted into Windows, and even though I use Linux a lot more than Windows, I sort of thought that I knew how to do Windows networking, but by God, you know, I was in there, and it was Windows XP era, and I was trying to fiddle around with that little thing, and I just wasn't doing its thing. And one of the IT guys happened to be walking past my office door, and I said, hey, could you just help me fix my internet? And he's like, sure, I can do that. Just let me take your laptop back to my cube. I've got some word of advice for your listeners. Never let IT just take your laptop back to their cube, especially if it's a dual boot machine booted into Windows. Because when he came back, he's like, I got your network fixed and you are gonna love me so much because your computer's gonna run way faster than it used to because I defragged your hard drive. And I said, you did not defrag my hard drive. And he said, yes, I did defrag your hard drive. And I'm like, what about the Linux partition? And he's like, what Linux partition? I said, the Linux partition you just erased. He said, no, it's not going to erase the Linux partition. It's only going to erase the Windows partition. He was wrong.
Oh, no.
Yes, this was absolutely horrible for me because I have really good practices, and I lost not one bit of work material. All of that was backed up. But this was at a time when my son was he's a toddler. It's like he's 1 or 2 years old. And I had some spare time projects that I was working on, and my backup mechanism is every time I finish something, I commit it and push it up to the repository. So my laptop, I can throw it away anytime. IT can take my laptop and defrag my hard drive. I don't care. So the problem was this, for the last year, my method of working is, oh, my son fell asleep, I'm gonna get a little work done. Oh, my son just woke up, I'm gonna close the laptop lid, set the computer aside, do what I need to do with him. So when I got my computer back and I went to clone the repository, I discovered I had not made a commit in an entire year.
Oh no.
And so I lost an entire year of work on my personal project, and it was so emotionally devastating that I never worked on it again.
Mike Anello from Drupal Easy.
The things that stick in my mind are, they're almost like when you have like a nightmare and then you wake up, everything's okay.
Uh-huh.
Where I would, you know, I would suddenly think about, oh my gosh, did I do something really wrong, you know, an hour, a day ago, have that cold sweat that, you know, did I like secure that thing, or did I accidentally, you know, copy a database up to production? Did I do something horrible and have that sweat and worry until I had 5 minutes to go and check it and say, oh, okay, I'm covered.
Everything's all right.
It's okay. So that's, for me, that's horror. Mm-hmm. And luckily it hasn't panned out to be actual horror yet. But for me, that's pretty damn scary.
So. Yeah, that I accidentally transposed the aliases in that Drush command.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, so another one is stuff like where you get like an email from a client saying, you know, our site's down, what's going on? And, you know, as the developer, I'm like, I'm not hosting your site, so, but did I do something to cause that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, did I, you know, go check everything? And actually, this just happened to me a couple days ago where, you know, I get panicked emails from the client. And it turns out that, you know, it was a misconfiguration of their internal network where they couldn't access their own website.
Oh, God.
So there I am, like, panicking, trying to figure out, like, I haven't pushed up, I, you know, in a week or so, I haven't done it, you know. So I'm trying to help them out, but in the end, it was like, okay, I'm cool, I'm covered.
Nice. That is slightly terrifying.
Yeah. It's like a nightmare you wake up from and everything's cool.
Yeah.
So.
Jen Witkowski from Lullabot.
So this actually happened recently. This isn't really a big tech blunder. It actually happened with like kind of a small group of stakeholders, but we were on an onsite recently and we were doing when we're on an onsite, we do a bunch of exercises with stakeholders to kind of understand, you know, the priority of goals and, you know, what type of visual style that they're drawn to. And the exercises that we were doing is something called it's a gut check, basically. I can't remember if it's 5 seconds or if it's 20 seconds. It might be 20 second gut check, where we show them a website. The stakeholders have 20 seconds to rate it if they like it or if they don't like it, and then they move on to the next one. So in order to do this, you have to set up a PowerPoint, and each slide has a website on it with a number in the corner. And, you know, the numbers are labeled, you know, 1, 2, 3. They go as they increase as the PowerPoint keeps advancing. And those numbers kind of align to the worksheet that the stakeholders have. So I had everything all set. And at the last second, I decided to rearrange some slides.
Uh-oh.
Not realizing that I was also rearranging the numbers. And I also duplicated slides to change out some of the images and not changing out the numbers. So after explaining the whole process to the stakeholders and getting them all psyched up, we started the PowerPoint and it started on number 2. And everybody's like, so do we start with number 2 or do we start with number 1? And I was like, oh, crap. Like, I immediately knew what I did. So we were just like, it's first in the morning, we're gonna keep you on the toes, you know, just take a look at the number in the corner and write the number down and like cross out the numbers that are already on there. So, and it worked out fine. I think we only had one worksheet that we turned in where it was kind of, we weren't exactly sure what they were meaning because there was like numbers scribbled out and then there was arrows pointing to other numbers and we were like, yeah. So, learn my lesson.
Jim Birch of Xenomedia.
You know, I know people have deleted servers before and, you know, published pages they haven't. I'd say that my biggest horror story was for a company that made a food product. And this was my first Drupal theme. And I got a design from a mock-up, and it had a beautiful picture of the food on the front page. And it was a 4-page website. It was built into their multi-site. It didn't really need to be Drupal. But this was much too late in life to have a full-page Flash movie play with music on in my first Drupal site. So I would say that was my biggest horror, and it's still online.
And it gets so it continues to haunt me today.
It does.
Chris Vanderwater of Acquia.
When I joined Acquia, I actually joined in the marketing Division, and that was a lot of fun, but for various reasons I ended up moving over to PS. And the first big project I really helped out with in PS was it was an early build on the Drupal 7 version of Lightning, which is Acquia's install profile for, you know, kind of encapsulates a lot of our best practices of what modules we think you should be using and what basic config you should be using. But very early in its life cycle, it wasn't really ready for primetime development, and we had decided that we were going to go ahead and use it on a project. And so, trying to get revision handling of layouts in Drupal 7 is a trick even today. So, you know, doing this nearly 3 years ago was quite the trick. And there was a lot of kind of rearranging of exactly how panels and Workbench moderation all integrated together, or rather panelizer. And to call it a horror story might actually be a bit of an understatement. I'm not sure I can get more detailed than that, though.
Rick Manelius from DreadTech.
Let me tell you a story that gave me literally probably my first gray hairs, which was a company I worked with, which was selling online-based memberships for personal development. And we had a really good series of sales over about 6 months, and then our credit card company called us and said, "Hey, we noticed you're not PCI compliant." And I didn't know what that word even meant. I was just like, "I'm a developer. The credit cards are going through. It means we're good." And the credit card company says, "Oh no, you've actually crossed a volume, over six figures of sales, by which you have to become compliant. And if you're not compliant within 30 days, you're going to have to refund that six figures worth of transactions, and you will no longer be able to accept credit cards." And their entire business model is built around this. So kind of that whole imposter syndrome vulnerability. I had a lot of trust with my employer at the time to actually go to them and say, "Hey, this is a problem," and not try to just fix it in the background. He immediately freaked out, as you can imagine. But I had to do the PCI compliance crash course in about 30 days, and we eventually, I wouldn't say we were compliant out of the box or out of the gates, but we eventually, over about a 6 month time period, achieved and maintained that compliance. But that really sparked my interest to sort of help others in computing not go through that same moment of terror of, just because you can accept credit cards doesn't mean you have the authority to do so. And helping sort of educate the community through the white paper, and being on a couple webinars like the Commerce Guys, who are incredibly supportive, Drupal Easy with Mike Anello, and a bunch of other things. That was kind of a big splash for me too, because that was one of those things where I didn't feel I was smart enough to be a thought leader on that topic, but nobody in the community really stood up and was that. So I kind of just did it, and thank God for Greg Knadison being sanity checking my work, because he was on the security team, leading the security team, so I needed someone to kind of prove that I knew what I was talking about. But that was a transformative event. So I took a very horrifying, almost near panic attack experience, and converted it into something very good for the community. So I hope others have kind of, when they've hit those areas, have been able to use it for good as well.
Angie Byron of Acquia.
So I used to work at Lullabot, a little before your time. And so while I was working at Lullabot, this was my first big project with Lullabot. And it was a data migration of something like 200,000 records from Vignette to Drupal 4.7, I think. Really old. Like, this is a long time ago. So I did the thing that you did back then, which is you spend, tons and tons of time writing this crappy mischief of like SQL and PHP and Bash and whatever you gotta do to like get a script that will get things moved from point A to point B. So we didn't have Migrate API or "You kids get off my lawn." Anyway, so we was just, it was this MacGyvered rubber banded thing, So stayed up till 4 a.m. or some ridiculous time. Ran the script, ran forever, imported all 200,000 records, checked it all, everything worked great. I was like, awesome, went to bed. Got up the next morning, oh, there's 20 more thousand records we forgot to tell you about. So now I'm like, oh my God, I'm trying to find this script that I just, totally hacked together thinking it would only ever have to run once. and suddenly it would need to run again a second time. So I'm going back through it and I'm making sure, and again, another 4 a.m. night, you know, and this was on a weekend and stuff. Ugh. So, you know, got the script running locally, tested it, well, fine, ran it on production, 20,000 records, checked a couple, seemed to make it over fine, great, go to bed. Get a call from Matt Westgate at 6 a.m., like 2 hours after I went to bed, on a Sunday. He was like, can you get on the internet because there's a problem? And I'm like, oh God. So anyway, long story short, this sequences table is not your friend. And so what I had done is I had imported those extra 20,000 records and everything had moved properly. But back in those days, you had a table called sequences that would keep the last note ID that you had put in. I forgot to update the sequences table with the latest note ID. So what was happening is the note IDs were being reused. And so content that said it was one thing was another thing, and it was a whole thing. So I, of course, thought I was going to get fired. I thought I would maybe get sued also because, you know, that was a horrible thing. So I'm, like, totally distraught.
So this was all done, and it went live on production. It's out there for
oh,
the world,
yeah, it's out there. Like, the company's lawyers are the people who have discovered this problem.
Oh,
like,
boy.
It's not a fun time at all. It was, I fixed it in 4 seconds. Like, once I knew what it was, like, a really easy fix. Because it was just a dumb, I think I had done that at the tail end and it didn't make it its way into the script because I would never have to run that script again, I thought. Yeah. So anyway, so I'm like panicking and like thinking, convinced like my life is over, this kind of thing. So Matt calls me after like the client got calmed down and everything, and he's like, so we're going to get you a massage. I just like started crying because I was like, oh my God, because I thought for sure, it was like the total opposite of what, you know, I thought was gonna happen. So they got me a massage, they like got it booked for me downtown Montreal. I went and did that, and then they said, and from now on, you are a data migration person because I know you will never do that again.
Chris Albrecht from Lullabot. So this one goes all the way back to my start in tech. I had just taken a job where I thought I would be working on the website. It was mid-2000s, early-2000s, and the website was a mishmash of PHP code, largely written by Perl developers, all like a base homespun CMS that handled registration for things, payments and checkout, as well as an organizational tool to group people together and create teams, and the brochure front-facing website of the company as well. So when I came in, I found out that the head of their tech department was on his way out. And he handled everything from the server configurations, the DevOps, the deployments, and all of that sort of stuff. And that was a world I was completely unfamiliar with. I knew HTML, CSS, a little bit of JavaScript maybe at that time. This was back even before jQuery, I think, came around. So I ended up getting in way over my head. They wanted me to take over his job, and I told them, like, look, I can't tell you the difference between Unix and Linux right now other than they both end in NIX. And they're like, ah, don't worry about it, you'll be fine. You'll get trained up on all those things, and everything will be okay. Sure, whatever you say. So they trained me up as best they could, and I have root access to the server, and I'm moving things around. And one of the tasks I needed to do was to scan through a series of parallel web directories and remove any htaccess files that might have been added to them. So I'm like, okay, I could do this one by one and be here all day, or I can craft a nifty little script that will go through each one and wipe them out. And so I started putting the script together, rm.htaccess something something, and there ended up being a space and a star or two in there, maybe a slash. So I tested the command in pieces and then ran it all together and figured it should be real quick. Go in, wipe out the file, and it's running. And it's still running. And it's been running way too long, so I canceled out of the operation. I go back in and I check, and our web server is now missing any directory that begins with the letters A through H. That's not usually good for a web server. So I ended up having to call my coworker, who really should have been he knew way more about this stuff than I did. And it was like 9 p.m. Eastern time for him, and he had to initiate a backup restore from our host, and we had to go in and manually start piecing things back together. Luckily, that was all there, and I don't think we really ended up losing anything except what might have been done during that day. We had to explain to a lot of people why their FTP space might be missing a few files if they had worked on it earlier. But in the end, it's one of those situations where I'm never going to make that mistake again, and I haven't since.
That is all for this episode. Don't forget to back up your databases and commit your code.